This is week two, class three, on the wisdom of God. All right, we're on point K here on page four, Proverbs 8, 18 through 21. We just got through talking about verse 19. Verse 20 says, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment. Now, very briefly, what's the purpose of prosperity? Well, for the furtherance of the kingdom, to spread the gospel. I lead in the way of righteousness. So right in the middle of telling you how rich you're going to be, he says, oh, by the way, I'll be leading you in the way of righteousness. In other words, it's not going to be for your benefit, even though you will be benefiting. It's primarily for the benefit of the kingdom of God. Now, in verse 21, take a look at this. That I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The word inherit means to take into possession, and the word treasures means a depository. Think in terms of your savings account. Think in terms of wherever money can be stored. That's what this is talking about. I'm going to build your accounts. I, wisdom, will cause your accounts to grow. This could mean your stock, if you have stocks and investments and whatever. I'm going to cause your accounts to grow. That means when you operate by the wisdom of God, you don't operate by what you see in the Wall Street Journal. Now, God's wisdom can help you understand the Wall Street Journal to the point of understanding the stock market and all these indexes and so forth. But what I'm getting at is wisdom, more than the stock exchange, is going to cause your depository, whatever that is, to be filled. Now, this is incredible because if the body of Christ latched on to just these few verses right here, you would have Christians operating in greater wealth than what you're seeing right now. I mean, quite frankly, as long as a ministry operates in wisdom, I'm not saying you won't ever face a financial challenge. You know, God says, I want you to, build this thing over here or whatever. Well, you need the money to do that. Wisdom can help you understand how to get the money to do that. There are far too many churches that are in debt, should not be in debt. There are far too many Christians that are in debt, should not be in debt. And I'm not talking about simply maybe having a car payment. I mean, wisdom can help you get to the place of paying everything off in cash. But what I'm talking about is the kind of debt to where, I mean, you think you're going under. There is no reason for Christians to ever file bankruptcy. Ever. Period. Well, Brother Martin, you just don't understand what we've gone through, don't understand our circumstances. Well, now, wait a minute. What does God's Word have to say here about operating in wisdom? If we operate in wisdom, wisdom says, I'm going to cause you to have this kind of financial substance in your life. Well, if you have that kind of financial substance in your life, there's going to be no reason to operate in such a way that you end up filing bankruptcy. It won't happen. So, you have Christians that file bankruptcy, and maybe you talk to them about this, and the whole thing of the wisdom of God. Oh, yeah, well, we operate in the wisdom of God, but you filed bankruptcy. Well, yeah, but that was so we wouldn't lose everything that we have. But wisdom says you're not going to lose everything you have. Wisdom says, operate by me, and this isn't going to happen. Well, yeah, I understand, but my circumstances are different. In other words, wisdom is so stupid it can't figure out your circumstances. I don't think so. Remember what I said earlier about how that the deeper I go into God, the fewer excuses I have? I have no excuse for any financial situation I get myself into. Head over heels in debt, I have no excuse. Bankruptcy, I have no excuse. Because God says, here's my wisdom. Now listen to what wisdom has to say. And wisdom says, hear me as I cry. Operate by me. And you will not have financial problems. You won't have financial struggles. You won't have to file bankruptcy and all these other things. But now there are a lot of Christians that have gone through financial problems, and maybe there are many of those taking this class right now, hearing this tape, sitting in this room. Maybe you've just filed bankruptcy or whatever. Please do not get into condemnation. Use this as learning. Realize now, okay, I didn't know this before. I mean, yeah, I've had a Bible, but now I'm seeing it in a way I've never seen it before. From this day forward, I want my life to change, so I start operating in wisdom to where not only do I not face my personal financial struggles, but I'm in a position financially to where I'm able to spread the gospel in a way that God wants it spread. Now, when it comes to operating in wisdom, let's take a look here, a practical example. Turn to 1 Kings. Leaving your marker in Proverbs, turn to 1 Kings. Many of us are familiar with this story. Let's look at it again. In 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 3, it says, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, only he sacrificed and burned incense in high places. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar." Now stop and think about this. Let's just say that they were all lambs, okay? We don't know for sure, but just say they were all lambs. 1,000 burnt offerings. Do you know how long it would take to do this? Do you know how I can't imagine the process for 1,000 burnt offerings. That's a lot of dead animals. That's a lot of blood. Can you think about what this represents? 1,000 burnt offerings. This is incredible. Why did he do that? Because at this point in his life, he was sold out to God. As best as he could, but that sin nature, he was still sold out to God. It goes on to say, in verse 5, "In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask what I shall give thee.' And Solomon said, 'Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day.'" Oh, by the way, who is Solomon's mother?
Bathsheba.
Wow. Who was Bathsheba? Who eventually became David's wife after adultery and murder. And now here is the son of that relationship sitting on the throne. Awesome. So don't ever come to me and tell me, "God can't use me. You don't know my family." No, trust me. God can use you. He says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days." Now look in chapter 4, verse 30. "And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt, for he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, and Heman, and Chalcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about." Verse 34. Now look at this. "And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom." Verse 34. There's your favor. You see that? He operated in wisdom. Favor went before and touched the hearts of the people around in a massive way. And it says that they came to Solomon. They came to him to hear what he had to say. I mean, he should have been a pastor, right? He wouldn't have had a problem with church attendance. Everybody would come to hear what he had to say. Now look in 1 Kings chapter 10. Turn over there. "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions." Verse 6. "And she said to the king, 'It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom.'" Verse 10. And she gave the king 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store, and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. Or in other words, nobody else gave more at one time than what she gave at that particular time. Doesn't mean that everything else added together didn't come up to more, but just this one particular time, she gave more than anybody else. Now, in this, it says in this verse 10 that she gave him 120 talents of gold. Now, one talent equals approximately 75 pounds. 120 talents times 75 pounds per talent is 9,000 pounds. 9,000 pounds times 16 ounces per pound equals 144,000 ounces. 144,000 ounces times $400 per ounce is $57,600,000. In addition to whatever the value of the spices and precious stones were. One offering, $57 million. And I'll guarantee you this, Queen of Sheba did not go home to an empty bank account. $57 million. Why did she do it? Because Solomon was operating in wisdom. All she wanted to do was hear the guy talk. Think about this. He opens his mouth and he speaks. Is this favor or what? She came into town with all of this stuff. After she hears him, she gives it to him. $57 million. Now let's go on. Verse 14. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Using the above formula, this is 799,200 ounces of gold times $400 per ounce. That comes out to $319,680,000. You know what? These numbers are so staggering, it's hard to believe. It really is. This is, in other words, money was looking for Solomon. It was trying to find him. Why? Wisdom. The wisdom. Now, in chapter 10, look at verse 15. Beside that, beside all this gold, look what else. Beside that, he had of the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. And Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. And he made 300 shields of beaten gold. 3 pounds of gold went to one shield, and the king put them in the house of the forest of Lebanon. Moreover, the king made a great throne of ivory and overlaid it with the best gold. The throne had 6 steps, and the top of the stone was round behind, and there were stays on either side of the place of the seat, and 2 lions stood beside the stays. And 12 lions stood there on one side and on the other side upon the 6 steps. And there was not the like made in any kingdom. And it's made out of ivory, and he covers the whole thing with gold. Can you imagine how heavy that would have been? And all King Solomon's drinking vessels were of gold. Hey, we've got Tupperware. This guy's got gold. And all the vessels of the house of the forest of Lebanon were of pure gold. None were of silver. It was nothing accounted of in the days of Solomon. There was so much opulent wealth, silver meant nothing to them. It says, for the king had at sea a navy of Tarshish with the navy of Hiram. Once in 3 years came the navy of Tarshish bringing gold and silver, ivory and apes and peacocks. Now you might wonder, why in the world did he want apes and peacocks? Because those were symbols of wealth back in those days. Nowadays you have apes and peacocks at home. They come and they take you away. So King Solomon exceeded all the kings of the earth for riches and wisdom. And all the earth sought to Solomon to hear his wisdom, which God had put in his heart. Now look at this, verse 25. And they brought every man his present, vessels of silver and vessels of gold and garments and armor and spices, horses and mules at a rate year by year. These people kept, every year these people keep bringing this into him. keep bringing this into him. And all he has to do is sit there and talk. That's all he has to do, is just sit there and talk. They just want to hear what he has to say. And Solomon gathered together chariots and horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen, whom he bestowed in the cities for chariots and with the king at Jerusalem. And the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones, and cedars made he to be as sycamore trees that are in the valley for abundance. And Solomon had horses brought out of Egypt and linen yarn, and the king's merchants received the linen yarn at a price. And look at this, and a chariot came up and went out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, and the horse for 150. And so for all the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Syria, did they bring them out by their means? In other words, these kings are bringing this, the people are bringing it, and kings are bringing this. This stuff is going on year after year. They keep bringing in all of this wealth, all of this with multiplied millions of dollars. This guy's got the furniture. They've got so much gold, they're making the furniture out of gold and silver. You know, here you come in, you bring him an offering of silver, and because this is something that means something to you. And he says, well, thank you very much, thank you very much. And he turns and throws it onto a pile because it means nothing. They've got so much wealth, the silver means nothing. It's like stones. This is unbelievable, but why? All because of wisdom. Because of wisdom. Now let me show you something. Turn to Luke 11. Look what Jesus says. Luke 11, verse 31. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, Queen of Sheba now. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, if Solomon, operating by the wisdom of God with a sin nature, could see that kind of wealth come into his life, and a greater than Solomon has come on the scene, which is Jesus. And when we get born again, we receive the life and the nature of Jesus, and we have access to the mind of Christ, wisdom that is not hindered by a sin nature. Can you see how that in this wisdom, which is greater than the wisdom that Solomon would have operated by, because we don't have a sin nature that could interfere with it in any way, shape, or form. Can you see how that operating by God's wisdom can get you into a position to where you will not have bankruptcy knocking at your door? You won't have to struggle trying to figure out how can I give an offering and go to the grocery store at the same time. Wisdom can get you to a place. I'm not promising you $300 million, $319 million a year, okay? What I am saying is that according to the Word of God, wisdom tells us, I can get you out of any financial situation, any mess, and I can get you planted on solid ground financially, and I can keep you there. I can cause you to accumulate. I can fill your depository, and I can make it possible for you to be in a position financially to where you'll never again have financial worries. And you're going to be able to give when it comes to spreading the gospel. What if just, now think about this, what if just 10% of the body of Christ were operating in the wisdom of God? Think of it. Think of the kind of wealth that would be impacting the spread of the gospel. Let's take it a step further. What if just 10% of the body of Christ were operating in this kind of wisdom? Do you think that we could have an impact on, say, political elections? Do you think that godly candidates would lack when it comes to campaign funds? I mean, after all, who in the world do you want in office, in any office? You want somebody that doesn't believe in Jesus, that's pro-everything ungodly? Or do you want somebody in office operating by the wisdom of God? What if 20%? What if half the people in the church you attend were operating by the wisdom of God? The church wouldn't have financial problems. The people in the church wouldn't be having financial problems. See, when you're operating by the wisdom of God, there's no hesitancy to give. The giving will just be there. It happens. Because remember, when you're operating, turn back over there to Proverbs. Proverbs 8. Verses 18, 19, talking about the money, the wealth, the gold, and so forth, and how that the fruit of wisdom is better than the gold because the fruit of wisdom causes you to get stuff. But then it says, verse 20, I lead in the ways of righteousness. Or another way to think of it is this: when it comes to using your money, you're going to be using it for righteous purposes. You won't spend frivolously. I, wisdom, will lead you in the path of righteousness so that the finances you have will be used for the cause of righteousness. So there you can see that, you know, churches wouldn't be going to banks to borrow money. They'd have the money to pay cash for everything that needs to be done, everything that God wants done now. Maybe, you know, men, we can want all kinds of things done, but what God wants done, the money's going to be there to pay for it. You don't have to go on these campaigns. You know, do you understand that there are organizations or businesses that will go to churches and teach churches how it's called like a stewardship funding program and all this other, on how to raise money for your building fund, or, you know, put up your building or build your addition or whatever it would be. And they'll teach you how to issue church bonds within the church and all these other kind of things to raise money to do whatever it is that you're doing. Those people are doing the best they can, I guess, in those companies. But do you understand, if Christians were operating in the wisdom of God, those companies wouldn't exist. You wouldn't need them. You wouldn't need to have somebody come in and tell you how to issue church bonds. We don't need it. We have all our own money. Do you understand that when churches go into a building project, I'll share with you, you may not know this. When churches go into a building project, and it's a fairly large church, every now and then, there are banks. Well, kind of back up. There are banks that have, especially larger banks, they'll have people assigned to be liaisons between the banks and nonprofits, which includes churches. And when larger churches go into a building project, sometimes these liaisons actually call the banks about potential funding. Now, they're not making any promises, but they're wanting to have an opportunity to make the loan if the bank determines that the church is feasible for a loan, because they want to get their money, the interest rate. You know, they want to get their cash out of you. Well, can you imagine telling them, no, we don't need it, thanks. But we understand you just contracted to buy 200 acres, prime land. Well, yeah, that's true. And that you're getting ready to build a big sanctuary and all this other. Well, yeah, that's true too. And we understand that the budget for this is going to be somewhere around, you know, $15 million. Well, yeah, that's true. Well, what do you mean you don't need a loan? Oh, well, gosh, we've already paid it off. We don't need them. We appreciate the help. In fact, you know what? I'm glad you called. We're thinking of starting our own bank. Now, you laugh at that, but there is a church down in Georgia that actually started its own credit union. See, if the body of Christ were operating... Here's why this sounds so far-fetched. It's because it sounds so far-fetched. It's because this is not happening in the body of Christ. We are so accustomed to not having money that the concept of having this kind of money is beyond our comprehension. Oh, Brother Martin, I know what the Bible says, and yeah, I mean, you're right. It says it right here. But I just can't imagine being like this. Start imagining. Start operating in the wisdom of God, and wisdom's going to help you with your imaginations. You know, like that song years ago, Just My Imagination Running Away With Me? It won't be your imagination running away with you. It'll be wisdom operating to help your imagination become the concepts and ideas that God has in His heart, so that you begin to see these things as a reality, not just a pipe dream. You ever heard Christians talk about, I just don't know how we're going to get out of this financial mess, like in their own homes and all this? I just can't see a light at the end of the tunnel. I just don't know how we're going to get our head above water. I just don't know. Well, the answer is right here. Tonight, we've covered it. Wisdom. Operate in the wisdom of God. And wisdom will cause you to have a change. The bad thing is if somebody expects it to be overnight instantaneous. Because I can't see it's going to be overnight instantaneous. But I can see it will happen. It is a process. And it is a growing process. This is a promise from God. I, Wisdom, think of it like this. Hi, my name is Wisdom. God has sent me here. And here is my job description. Now, you'll notice there that part of my job description is to cause you to have money. Do you want me living with you? Well, sure. Come on in. What if somebody knocked on your door tomorrow, said, hi, my name's Bob, and I'm a bazillionaire, and I'm supposed to come here and live with you and see to it that all of your bills are paid, that you never drive a beat-up old junker of a car, that your house is a decent place to live, that your kids can go to college if that's what they want, and on and on and on. But you have to let me live here with you. Well, gosh, I don't know, Bob. I mean, I appreciate this, but, you know, I don't know you. And having you move in like this, oh, don't worry about it. Because, you see, I am so rich, I'm going to build my own addition. And I just have to live here on the property with you. Can we do that? Is that okay with you? When the bills come in, just hand them to me. When the needs come up, just tell me. Don't even ask if you can have it. Tell me how much is needed. And it will be there. Now, is it okay if I build this addition for myself? My own bathroom, my own TV, everything. My own kitchen, I'll do my own cooking. Can I do this? Will you let me do this? What would you say? When can you start construction, Bob? Stay on the couch until the addition is finished. This is what wisdom is saying. I will do this for you. I'm wisdom. I don't have a choice. This is my job description, part of it. I will do this for you. But you have to let me move in and live with you. If you don't, I can't cause this to happen. Remember Jesus? You know, I stand at the door and knock. Wisdom is saying, I stand at the door and knock. Look at just, don't even go beyond Proverbs chapter 8. Just look in Proverbs chapter 8, what I can do for you. All these things. But you have to let me move in. You have to let me stay with you. You have to let me be a part of your life. I will do this for you. And see, this is the thing about all of this. It's a promise from God, and God cannot lie. So here we have a book in the Bible. God is saying, look, in spite of anything else that you can read in Scripture, this stone should tell you that I made provision for every financial area of your life. Along with all the other things in here, I've made provision for you every area of your finances. If you will let me, wisdom, operate in you, don't worry about the how. Don't worry about the where's it coming from. Don't worry about the when's it going to happen. I guarantee you I'll bring it about. I promise you. But you've got to let me be a part of your life. I don't know that if I went around and preached this, I don't know how many Christians would really believe it. Well, by the end of this course, you're going to understand what it takes to, you know, tap into the wisdom and so on. And that's the hard part. Even though it's really not hard, it's the hard part. Because you have to do something. You know what I'm saying? Think of it like this. What if you wanted to get married and you saw somebody, you know, a good-looking guy, good-looking woman, you know, in a store. And you want to get married. You look over there and, boy, I mean, we're talking, you know, Ken or Barbie. You know what I'm talking, you know? And you just walk up and say, you know what, let's get married. Now, how far do you think that would go? Maybe as far as the security guard that gets called in, right? Doesn't work that way. You have to develop that relationship. before you get married. Likewise, you have to develop a relationship with wisdom before wisdom can produce in your life, because wisdom has to work with you to change your thought patterns so that you start thinking like wisdom thinks. As that happens, wisdom can produce all of these things, including the wealth. See, this is God's word, God's promises. It means this will work in any country on this planet. The most impoverished third world nation, doesn't matter. Wisdom will do this. When we start wanting to know the how, that's when we get messed up. Because we're trying to get wisdom to explain to us in human terms how wisdom's going to do it. Wisdom says, no, I come from God, therefore I'm spiritual. This is all going to be spiritually related. Don't try to figure it out. You know, for me personally, I honestly do not understand. I mean, I've taken courses in electricity and so forth. I still don't understand how it works. I still don't understand the... Okay, fine. Electrons, neutrons, all this kind of stuff, fine. Positive, negative, resistance and so forth, great. All we know is it works, but we really can't explain why. We just know how to use it to our advantage. You know what I'm saying? Well, I don't get a manual and try to figure out how electricity works before I'll turn the switch on. I turn the switch on, and I'm glad that it works. Likewise, I don't have to have a manual to explain to me how everything works in the realm of the Spirit, because I really don't understand everything. But I know things work. So when I apply the things that work, I know I'm going to get the results. The mechanics of it, I don't have a clue. I just know it will work. Wisdom says, hey, I can help you in all these other areas, but also in this area of your finances. No matter what we're facing here tonight, no matter what our churches are facing, if we operate in God's wisdom, the whole financial situation that we're looking at now begins to change. And even if things for you right now are pretty good financially, it can only get better. It can only increase. Wisdom promises that things will be different for us. You see, yeah, but Brother Martin, you know, in the book of Revelation, it talks about bad times happening, and Jesus said, in this world you have tribulation, and so on and so forth. That's right, but wisdom always has the answer. Wisdom will always be there to help you. The thing we have to understand is, until the book of Revelation has come to a conclusion, there are always going to be bad things happen. We have to understand it because we see it borne out in the Word of God. So in this kind of a course, the worst thing that we can do is develop a belief that operating in wisdom means never, ever having any kind of a problem, never facing any kind of a challenge. Never this or never that. That's not what this means. What it means is operating in the wisdom of God is going to help us get through whatever bad thing we're facing. And right now, if we're facing financial stuff, wisdom says, I'll help you get through that. Well, praise God. This should be very encouraging to you. And it should cause you, I want to know now. How do I get into wisdom? Well, we're just going to have to figure that out, you know, when we come back together later on in this course. So anyway, right now, let's just go ahead and just praise the Lord. Father, quite frankly, when we see these things in your word to talk about wisdom and what wisdom can do for us, especially these things like the finances, God, our human minds and rationale just tilt. We just don't understand it, Father. So I'm asking you to help me, help all of us, to understand it by faith. To just accept, yes, even though I don't understand the step-by-step process, it still says it in the Word. Therefore, Father, I accept it. And I'll just accept it by faith and go with it. Help us to develop that kind of an attitude toward it, Father. Help us to realize that we're not going to understand all the ins and outs, but we can understand and accept the reality of what you said and that these promises are true. So I thank you for wisdom. And I thank you, Father, that we will continue to grow in wisdom and apply wisdom. And now as we leave this place, we ask for, by faith, and receive, Father, divine protection. We love you so much. Thank you for our salvation, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.